Today we're talking with Herb Cohen. He is the chairman of Performance Connections International, a leading training and performance enhancement company best known for its work in employee and customer engagement, employee retention, and turning mission-critical initiative into results. Herb, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David.
So, you know, you've been doing a lot of work with customer engagement, especially having to do with customer loyalty. Can you give an example in terms of some of the things that you've done to kind of give the audience an idea of some of the successes you've had?
Well, one big success is working with the Ritz-Carlton. That's been our model connections. Not that they weren't in good shape before we worked with them, but since we took over, they've moved in, and I can explain a little bit where they were and where they are going, but where they are today. But that's one example. Another is many retailers like a Victoria's Secret and some of the department stores and some of the other specialty stores.
Okay, so you know, one of the things that you know we sometimes talk a lot about the show on is the customer engagement, and we have had other guests on that have certainly talked about engagement. And you know, one of the things that is different is that you talk about how engaged customers differ from loyal and satisfied customers. I think that is a little bit of a difference. So try to explain that.
Yeah, it's really evolved over the years. You know, at the beginning when customer service was thought of as a competitive advantage, or first thought of as a competitive advantage, they talked about satisfied customers, and then they moved to loyal customers, and today we've sort of created this engaged customer, and I'll explain a little bit about that. If you picture a ladder, if you think about a ladder with five rungs, I think of the engaged customer at the top. The bottom rung, I label as being a hostage. You're a customer, but you feel trapped. An example of that for us in Maine is Time Warner Cable. They own you. You're with them whether you like it or not, and you have very few alternatives. The next rung up is what I'd call a contented customer, generally satisfied, but not really committed. That might be like a chain restaurant might be a good example of that. The next rung up I label a rationally committed customer. So you like the brand and you're sort of committed to the brand for good reasons. But you'll switch. Airlines might be a good example of that. You have a favorite airline, but you'll switch to another airline if there's a better price or it's more convenient schedule. A hotel might fall into that category. Next to the top, of course, is a loyal customer. I've always been a loyal customer. Think about a pharmacy. I've always been a loyal customer to CVS, but I discovered that Target has a unique and patented vial system. So their vial, you can read the label. People in your family have different colored vials, and it's a unique vial system. Everything else is the same. The prices are the same. The service is pretty much the same. So I've become I was committed to CVS, but I've moved over to Target because of some value that they're providing. A supermarket might be another example of that. And of course, the engaged customer is one emotionally committed to your brand. They become the most profitable customers. They stay with you the longest time, and they're ambassadors with lots of room for error. Not everybody does everything perfectly, at all times. And when you got an engaged customer, they will give you room for error. A good example of that might be Starbucks. Once you're a Starbucks customer, it's very, very difficult to go to Dunkin' Donuts. USAA, the insurance company, does a good job. Of course, the Ritz-Carlton, Netflix, even when they raised their prices, there were people emotionally connected to their brand. So that's how I see it as evolving.
When you're talking about an engaged customer, so give me a little bit, is there a demographic to it, or is it really just whatever that engaged or whatever that product is that becomes emotionally attached? What's part of the emotional attachment?
The emotional attachment is that they brag about you. They're connected to you. The outcome is what I mentioned before, which is they recommend you. They they've been with you for a long time. They repurchase all the time. They come back and trade with you. But rooted in that are things like trust. Your brand, your deliverable must be reliable. You must have integrity. They've got to be able to trust you. They have to have pride in your brand. You know, people who love Starbucks continue to talk about Starbucks. They try to talk other people into it. I do the same thing with the Target prescription, vials. You show the customer respect. The customer respects you. You show the customer respect no matter what's going on with them, no matter how unreasonable others might think them to be. They have passion, excitement, integrated into the customer's lifestyle. So it's pretty easy with certain brands like a Patagonia might be. That's an easy one to pick out. People love Patagonia because it matches their lifestyle. But even a Trader Jack's because it's more green, or a Victoria's Secret because it's easy for a male to shop there versus being embarrassed in a department store or another kind of a store. And then, of course, looking for ways to add value, that the customer always feels as though you're working on their behalf and adding value. So those sort of roots give you an outcome of somebody that's going to be with you a long time and be a most profitable customer.
To get that engaged customer takes work, takes an organization that really wants to make sure that the customer experience is top-notch 100% of the time. So kind of talk about the areas of the organization that impact the customer's experience.
Good. That's the big misconception, that customer service or an engaged customer is a separate event. It really is not. It is part of the organization, and it has to be part of the culture, and it connects to all, and everything connects to the customer's experience. Management, is top management, are the middle managers, are the line managers involved? Are they committed? Are they engaged? Do the data and metrics, for example, the dashboards or surveys, are you keeping up with that? Do you understand how the customers feel about you? And all the metrics connect to the service. Systems. Sometimes organizations make the commitment to create a competitive advantage by providing better service, yet the systems don't match that and they can't keep up with it. Policies. Are the policies left over or are they also in line with an engaged customer? Processes. I had a client come into town and I made a reservation at a restaurant, and I didn't do it by phone. I did it online. And I was a little embarrassed when I got to the hostess. The place was a zoo, was very, very crowded, and I gave them my name. And she says to me, the receptionist says, gee, I don't have your name down here. What's your phone number? I says, I didn't give you a phone number. I did it online. So she actually had to go into the back room, go onto her computer, and confirm that I had a reservation. So here's the case where the process doesn't match the quality of the food or the service that they want, that they were known for. Infrastructure, are you organized to throughout the organization to provide customer service? And I'll talk about the Ritz-Carlton later on in the half hour, and because they certainly are. And accountabilities, does everybody feel responsible and accountable for the customer's experience? And you can't have an engaged customer without an engaged workforce. There's no such thing as good customer service and not good employees. If the employees are unhappy, the customers are going to be unhappy. If the employees are happy, the customers are going to be happy.
Well, and it shows through, right? I mean, it shows in how they act and how they, if they smile, how they project themselves. You can feel it.
Exactly.
It's a feel, right? I look at it, I go into a place, you can almost tell the atmosphere of any place you walk into just by looking at the employees.
Exactly. The national statistics about this is that companies' workforces are not really fully engaged. And the bulk of the people are in this sort of a bell-shaped curve that are up for grabs. And if the organization is paying attention to their employees and including their employees and allowing their employees to participate and get involved in the customer's experience, the idea of moving that bell-shaped curve to the right and having them more highly engaged is greater. And the other thing that's of concern is this thing called the discretionary effort, and that is, what are the employees doing when nobody's looking? You know, is it on behalf of the customer? Is it on behalf of the organization? Or is it on behalf of their own goals and their own interests? So discretionary effort is highly connected to the engaged workforce.
So how easy is it really to make service a primary competitive advantage?
Well,
that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
It's easy and it's not. It's yes and no. It depends how far along you are and how serious and committed you are to that strategy. It takes the entire organization and a willingness to empower people within the organization.
And that takes leaders to make the decision that that's important, right? I mean, it has to start at the top.
Yeah, at the top. But it often starts at the top and it becomes the event du jour. So, you know, it's not going to be a New Year's resolution that you're going to do for a while and then stop. This has to be an entire organizational commitment. And whether things are good or whether things are bad, if you're going to be driven by the short-term metrics and not the long-term decision to be a customer-focused organization, an organization that's going to have engaged customers, an organization that's going to create competitive advantage, then it will be an event du jour. It'll come, it'll go, and it'll be very transparent. You'll go hog wild for a while, and then you're allowing everything to bungee back. So it's got to be wholehearted and committed, right, as you say, right from the top.
A lot of companies go through the what you might call the change of the day, change of the month,
yep,
change of the quarter, right, change of the year. These are the initiatives this year. These are the things we've got to get done this year. We're going to focus on these this year. But they don't necessarily, and then by halfway through the year, it's changed. Something's happened with the market. You know, I have a retail background as well, and you know, it's the old saying, sales cures all ails. You know, if sales are really good, then we can, you know, it's clearly whatever's working. We'll just keep doing it. We're not going to stay the focus. If something happened, I mean, those things happen.
The Ritz-Carlton is a great example of an organization that really does it all. They call it legendary service, but it connects. They have 12 service values. They have the three steps of service. They have their motto, their employee promise, and their credo. But a lot of companies have that. But, you know, it goes into print and it disappears. It's not embedded in the culture of the organization. That's where the Ritz differs. They do a phenomenal job of integrating it into the organization. And they do two things really differently. One is every single person is empowered and feels responsible for the customer's experience, from the housekeeper to the maintenance person to the door person to the executives. And that's not from time to time. That's everybody. Now, what if somebody makes a mistake? You know what? You know, they step out of line. They do something. They have a phenomenal system of diffusing the mistakes because they put it off. They do not look for a person to blame. They have a figure. It's actually a doll, you know, that steps around, and they call him Mr. Biv, B-I-V. It's an acronym for something, but I, for the life of me, can never remember. Anyway, Mr. Biv is always there, and if something happens, they say Mr. Biv is in the room, Mr. Biv is this, and they blame it. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't get to the bottom of it, but it allows people the freedom to take some risk and go the extra mile and take responsibility for the customer's experience and add value to the customer's experience. It really works.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site, and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
Thank you for calling vacationsandstuff.com. Looking for a hotel? How about a car? Are you sure you don't want a car? What about tickets to a show? No? Then how about the car? We've got pony rides. Why not? Not for you? What about a cruise? It's just like a hotel, except it floats.
Sometimes you just need a hotel. When you do, go to hotels.com.
How about a facial then? Back wax? Stone massage?
With over 20 years of experience and over 140,000 hotels worldwide, why go anywhere else? At Hotels.com, finding you the perfect place is all we do.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We're talking to Herb Cohen. He's the chairman of Performance Connections International. Herb, again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we've talked a lot about employee engagement, and one of the examples you cite was the Ritz-Carlton. So what I'd like to do, if possible, here for the next few minutes, if you could kind of give a rundown of how the Ritz-Carlton did what it did, and maybe why they decided to go for they always had a reputation, of course, of great service. But what moved them to embracing engagement?
Good. When I first met them, they're the best at everything, and they have been for a while. When I first met, they provided every employee with their prescriptive approach, their service values, their steps of service, and every employee was trained, taught to deliver the message. But customers have varied needs and varied wants. So if you provide the same consistent message service to every customer, the outcome will vary. On the other hand, if you provide varied service, depending on the situation or the needs and wants of the customer, the outcome will be more consistent at a much higher level. So their movement from a prescriptive approach to full empowerment and allowing every employee to treat the customer in the way the customer wanted to be treated, slower, faster, more, less, that the judgment was going to be for every single employee. That was the big change. And where they were getting high, very, very high ranks in their ratings of best service in the world, Four Seasons was beating them, Sangita was beating them, there were other places beating them. That all changed when they went from the prescriptive approach to a more empowered approach. That's a big difference.
No, it's a huge difference. Now, tell me some of the steps it took, though.
The step was to decide that they were going to empower them, that the empowered employee was going to make some mistakes along the way, but that they were going to allow that to happen, that their tolerance for error. That's another thing that I look at in an organization. What is your tolerance for error? What is the level of error? Some organizations, the tolerance for error is very, very low. That happens. It's very difficult to provide the greatest possible service because your employees are running scared. They're always going to be worried about making a mistake. At the Ritz-Carlton, they're never worried about making a mistake. Another thing that they do is They have what's called a lineup. Now, some organizations will say, gee, we're going to replicate that. Let me just explain what the lineup is. The lineup is in every single property, every single day, they have a 15-minute meeting with every single person. What do they talk about? What they did right? What they got to do better? They repeat a service value. They have 12 of them, like strong relationships, always be responsible, you are empowered, understand the key success factor, things like that, how to resolve problems, things like that. They have a service value of the day. If they're at the headquarters in Washington, D.C., the president's in the office, he comes to the meeting, the lowest secretary, the maintenance person. If you're talking about a property, that's all 24 hours. They may have one in the morning. If you go to that meeting in the morning, they'll have a cross-section of the entire organization, people out of the kitchen, people from housekeeping, people from reception, executives. And then they do it again at night. If the executives from the home office are in the field, they attend them. The lineup is where they discuss, and they do this every single day, and they talk about who they are, what their, you know, and what their motto is. Their motto is that we are ladies and gentlemen who service ladies and gentlemen, and they never get tired of talking about it, and they do it every single day. Most organizations don't do it. They start off doing it. They make excuses because it's a distributed business, and it's hard to do. But organizations, my friend Ken Blanchard does this by telephone. There's ways to do this if organizations are committed to changing the culture within the organization.
Geez, Ken Blanchard, I was just thinking, One Minute Manager, right? Isn't that his favorite book?
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, I was like, that name sounds familiar. That's right, Ken does a great job. He actually has a program he uses quite a bit, and I am familiar with it. Do you think that when an organization or a company is looking at empowering their employees, there's an element of risk that they have to accept? And how do they get over that fact of the risk that they have to accept?
They have the tolerance for error. The other part of how the RITs transitioned was they created a more engaged workforce. What is a more engaged workforce? I think we can boil it down to, you know, discretionary effort. There's a few other definitions. But here's the three things. If the listeners remember nothing else, remember these three things. That your employees find value in the organization. That your employees are allowed to create value in the organization. And that your employees feel valued. Find value, create value, feel value. That's it. If nothing else, mm-hmm. Find value in the organization. Can they contribute? Are they appreciated? And is there a way for them to contribute? If you can do that, those things in the organization, you're on your way to creating a culture one of service or one of any other strategic advantage that you want to create, but primarily service.
I was thinking that this is exactly one of the things that great companies do. I mean, they really take the time to make sure that their performance and they trust their people and that they really set them out there to succeed. And it takes risk, but the risk equals reward in this particular case. So I think that that's a great way of putting it. Herb, I got to thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time talking to us. And again, Herb Cohen is the chairman of Performance Connections International. Herb, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the website?
www.performanceconnections.com.
And we will certainly have that website along with your contact information on the HR Power Hour or hrpowerhour.com site. So again, thank you, Herb, for being on the show today.
It's been my pleasure, David. Thank you very much.